Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Financial Re-Education Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, I think people have been investing in the market, and they may need a little brush up on the kinds of things that the terminology that takes place. Sometimes you forget. I thought I would just remind people of what these terms mean so that when you watch CNN and they mention whatever.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
A bull market, for example. This is a random market movement causing an investor to mistake himself for a financial genius. A bear market is an extended period when the kids get no allowance, the wife gets no jewelry, and the husband gets no sex. Broker. What your broker has made you.
Yeah.
A stock split is when your ex-wife and her lawyer split your assets between them. A market correction is what happens the day after you buy stocks. And cash flow is the movement that your money makes as it disappears down the toilet. Well, we need reminders. And that's my reminder.
I recall my stockbroker using that term, market correction, frequently.
Well, was it shortly after you had made a purchase?
Always. I bought this stock yesterday
There's a correction.
And I looked, it's like 16 now, market correction. But don't worry, don't try to time the market. Doesn't make any difference if you buy high, as long as you sell so I can make another commission.
I like the bull market. A random market movement causing an investor to mistake himself for a financial genius.
Well, anyway, if you have a question about your car or, more importantly, your investments, because we're financial whizzes, the number to call here is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rebecca from Vancouver, Washington.
Hi, Rebecca. Do they call you anything for short?
They call me Becca.
Becca.
Yeah.
Becca
from Vancouver, Washington.
That's right.
Okay, Becca.
I have a 75 Dodge Dart it's a slant 6, I think 225.
That's right. You got it, kid.
Okay.
You got it.
Well,
you're living the dream, baby. You're living the dream.
I love this car. I've been through it and back with it the last couple of months. About 6 months ago, I kind of forgot to put oil in it for a while.
You just ruined the dream.
They don't need oil.
The dream turned into a nightmare.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I spun a bearing.
Oh.
So I had to replace the crankshaft. And I did that myself, and it went okay for the most part. And, you know, I had a little help because I'm not strong enough to lift the crankshaft myself.
Neither am I anymore.
No, nobody is.
Okay, well, I put it all back together, and there's no leaks. It's fine, except when I turn the car off, it wants to keep running. It goes boop, 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 like that.
Okay. Hmm.
And I have to replace the brake booster, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I've taken it, after I replaced the crankshaft and everything, I took it in to have it timed, and they adjusted the carburetor, but it still keeps doing it, and I don't know what that is.
When you did the bearings, you did the crankshaft, you replaced the bearings,
yeah.
Did you do anything else? Did you take the cylinder head off?
Cylinder head.
You did all this from the bottom.
I don't know the names of the stuff very well, but I put new pistons in, piston rings. And,
okay, so you took the head off.
Oh, you did. You did everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you don't even know the names of these things, and you did all that?
Well, that's why I needed help, because I don't know the names of things. I have my own names, so I go to the auto parts store, and I'm like, okay, it looks like this.
Yeah. Give me some of these round things. Give me 18 of these round things.
I need some of the thingies.
I have these things that I call couplets, and I still don't know what they're called, but they're just like things that I'm like, yeah, that looks like a couplet to me.
Sure.
Chicken or veal? Oh, couplet.
A couplet.
I'm mechanically inclined if I know what's wrong, and if I know what the parts are called, I can fix it.
Wow.
So now you want to know why.
So you did everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there are various causes for your condition, which is called dieseling.
Okay.
One of them is excessive engine idle speed.
Okay.
Which I trust you don't have because you took it in to be adjusted.
Right.
And if the guys that adjusted it were over 45, they would have known how to adjust it.
Okay, yeah, they were.
They adjusted the carburetor, you said?
Yes.
And you say you need a booster. Why do you need a booster? Because the brakes don't work correctly?
Yeah, when I go to stop, it kind of mushes to the floor, and I really have to push it in there. And the guy said that it was the brake booster.
Now, if it mushes to the floor,
no,
that means the booster's working well.
It's the master cylinder.
The master cylinder.
Yes. Was this the same guy that adjusted the carburetor?
Yeah.
Okay, then that explains everything.
We'll change everything.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's not the booster.
It's not the booster.
But they're not related.
Okay.
Here's the test for the booster if you want to do it.
Okay.
Okay. First, start the engine, get it warmed up.
Okay.
Shut the engine off. Okay. Get inside the car and pump the brake pedal 6 or 7 times. And each time you do it, the pedal will get harder and harder to depress and will also get higher.
Okay.
So that you'll be able to move the pedal only a fraction of an inch before it feels like a rock.
Okay.
With your foot held firmly on the brake pedal, start the engine.
Okay.
If the booster is working, you will feel the pedal sink down toward the floor.
Okay.
If the booster weren't okay, it might be giving you a vacuum leak. That being the case, it could make the engine run too lean. It could also cause it to diesel.
Okay. Oh,
but it would run very rough. Does it run rough?
Yeah.
So the engine at idle will shake.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you know where the booster is?
Yeah, I do.
There's a big fat rubber hose that runs from the booster. There's only one hose.
Okay.
Get a pair of pliers, and while the engine is running, squeeze that hose as hard as you can.
Okay.
And if the engine runs more smoothly, you need a booster.
Okay.
And that could be causing you dieseling.
Oh, okay.
But if this guy misdiagnosed the booster, then he probably adjusted the carburetor incorrectly.
Okay.
There are other possibilities. In fact, excessive engine operating temperature could cause dieseling.
Wrong timing.
And that could be caused by having bearings that weren't fitted correctly or the crankshaft that wasn't installed correctly. But we don't want to get into that because that would be very depressing and it would ruin the rest of your summer.
That's right, because I'm certain that I put it in right.
Of course you did.
We know you did.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
See you, Becca.
Bye.
You may have to fly us out there.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. That was pretty courageous of her.
It was.
I think I'll just replace the crankshaft. Wow.
Well, don't you remember when we had the do-it-yourself shop?
Do I remember?
Long, long ago, on a galaxy, long forgotten, we had people that used to come into our shop. We had a shop that was split down the middle with an imaginary line, and on one half of the shop, we had a regular repair shop, and the other half, we used to rent out tools and space with a jack and a drop light and a shoulder to cry on, and I was always amazed at the courage that people had to do things that they had never done before. And more importantly, jobs that we had never done before.
And we were going to advise them.
And remember that guy that took apart his Jaguar transmission?
Yeah.
Whatever happened, he's still there.
He might be.
If you'd like to call us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Paul Everett calling from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Hey. No last names, please.
Chapel, North Carolina.
That's in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And what can we discuss with you today, sir?
Well, I was hanging out on the internet one day, and I was at one of those classified used car search engine things.
Yes.
And I did a search for cars in the $0 to $250 category.
You cheapskate.
Come on.
Zero.
Wait a minute. Did my MG come up?
No, but every other car you ever owned did.
Actually, only one car came up. One car came up, and it was about 3 hours away from my house, and it was $200. It was a 86 Chevy Nova.
Yeah. Gee, so that's not bad.
Yeah, not too bad. It runs real rough and backfires, and, it makes a lot of noise.
Couldn't be better.
What I wanted. Yeah. So we drive it back here, and it's running great for about a month, and the previous owner took a radial saw to the roof and sawed out an enormous hole. So there's no cover. It's sort of a homemade sunroof. And so to get in and out of the car, everybody would walk across the hood and across the trunk and things like that. And one night, there were about 5 people that were in the process of getting in the car. They were standing on the hood, and they started, dancing around. And then all of a sudden, all this smoke and sparks and flames come out from under the hood.
I know what happened.
We sort of realized that it must have been the battery that had sort of blown up or something.
Well, yeah, they short-circuited the battery by crushing the hood.
Exactly. The battery had welded itself. The positive terminal had welded itself to the underside of the hood. It had gotten so hot.
Love it.
And the ground wire was completely burned in half. And believe it or not, the car started, just didn't have any headlights, no taillights, no brake lights, no turn signals. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Right.
Yeah, because you fried all those wires.
Right. Well, you burned out all the fusible links.
Yeah, none of the fun stuff worked.
Oh, yeah, the battery got cooked.
But, you know, I mean, the car still runs, and I checked all those. There's a set of fusible links right on the positive terminal, and I checked all those. Those are fine. All the main fuses are fine. I just don't know what's going on.
Oh, no,
they can't be fine.
Yeah, and there are many other fusible links in this car as well.
Oh,
you,
no.
You need the wiring diagram, which costs you about $200.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's as much as the car.
Get a wiring diagram. I bet if you went to a Chevrolet dealer, you'd find some old geezer there that would just give you the service manual for this thing.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't see these anymore.
Yeah.
No. Maybe you could buy it for $5, and then you can sit down and find all the other fusible links.
Yeah, if you explain your plight to someone. I mean, if nothing else, they could Xerox the wiring diagram for
you. If you had a Toyota dealer, this is the same as an 85 Corolla.
Uh-huh.
Now, these fusible links you're looking at, are these like clear plastic fuses?
Well, it's sort of a box. It's a little miniature
box.
Yeah, that
ain't what you want. There is a bundle of fusible links which look like wires,
uh-huh,
and they run right off of the positive battery cable.
Uh-huh.
And I bet you that's all melted there. If you just took all those wires,
mm-hmm,
and strip them bare and join them all together and touch them to the positive terminal, I bet you most of the stuff in the car would work.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So if you go out and get yourself a bunch of number 12 gauge wire and just sit down and cut everything and replace all the burned out stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just by connecting. You're not colorblind, are you?
No, I'm not.
Doesn't make any difference. Just hook everything up.
You could connect blue to blue, red to red, and all that stuff. And I think that's what I would do.
Well, but then you wouldn't have any circuit protection. You can buy fusible link wire in a roll,
uh-huh,
and you can patch up these fusible links so that if anything stupid like this ever happens again,
uh-huh,
the same thing will happen and the car won't blow up.
I mean, the fact that you had this protection is what prevented the car from bursting into flame.
Well, that probably would have been better. I would have gotten some insurance money for it or something.
Yeah, maybe about $200.
$200.
But that's what you need to do. When you figure out how you can get everything to work,
uh-huh,
then you can, in fact, make some fusible links for yourself.
Ooh, that would be most excellent.
It would be a learning experience.
I'm sure it would be.
And don't let anyone walk on the hood anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's half the fun.
I know. See you, Paul.
All right, thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Deborah Rodriguez, and I'm calling from Haverhill, Massachusetts.
Deborah?
Yes.
Is that a five-letter Deborah or a seven-letter Deborah?
It's a D-E-B-O-R-A-8-7.
Seven. Yeah, that's the real spelling.
That's the real thing. None of this shortcut stuff.
Haverhill.
Haverhill. Hey, that's right. Are you familiar with Haverhill, Massachusetts?
Never heard of it.
I have heard of it, you know, and I don't have the faintest idea where it is.
Well, it's north of Boston, about 2 hours north of Boston in rush hour traffic and a half hour without rush hour.
Got it.
A friend of mine says that I'm from New Hampshire because I'm right on the border, but I'm not. I'm Massachusetts.
We can tell that.
Yeah. There's a big difference.
There is a huge difference.
You go over that line and your IQ will drop 30 points.
You'll lose 5 teeth.
And my husband turns into my brother.
Exactly, right.
We won't go there, but anyway.
what's up, Deborah?
Well, I have, well, actually, it's my husband's car. It's an 89 Volkswagen Golf.
Yeah.
And this car, every once in a while, there seems to be no pattern. When I go to start it, it makes this very loud, metallic...
grinding noise.
Yeah, like a barking seal kind of noise. Exactly.
Like gnashing of teeth.
Yes.
That's it. And that's exactly what it is. It's gnashing of teeth,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's gnashing of teeth. Did you just make that up?
No.
No.
No, not really. Yeah. This is an automatic transmission Golf?
Yes.
Mm. I knew it.
Mm-hmm. So is this something that I need to be worried about?
Yes.
No. No.
Yes, you do.
I do.
How long has it been doing this?
Oh, a long time.
But for every 10
times... What's the frequency?
For every 10 times that you turn that key to start the car, how many times does it do this?
Usually it only does it once. The most it's ever done it is 3 times in a row.
How many miles on the car?
175,000.
I would do nothing.
You would do nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what
I
is
mean,
it?
I mean, when it happens.
If you don't have to do anything, why do you want to know what it is? I mean, what difference does it make?
When it does happen, all you need to do is make sure you stop right away, which, of course, you do. You let go of that key right away.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the radio will keep playing because it's a VW.
The radio has been stolen 4 times.
Well, of course, they can hear it playing. They know you have a radio. The damn thing shut off, it wouldn't be stolen.
As long as the second you hear it happen, you let go of the key.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep driving.
What's wrong is that the gears on the flywheel that are supposed to mesh smoothly with the gears on the pinion of the starter are all chewed up.
Mm.
So that when that starter gear, when you turn the key and that starter gear pops out to turn the flywheel,
uh-huh.
it's hitting teeth that are all chewed up.
Oh.
You've got one spot of maybe a half a dozen teeth that are chewed up, mm-hmm. and the other 50 teeth are okay. And that would explain why 1 out of 10 times.
See, and if you did live in New Hampshire, you wouldn't notice you were missing teeth.
See, you could have just left it. I mean, it might have just slipped by.
I couldn't do it.
I know.
I couldn't do it.
But by the way, exactly. when you do get this fixed, I mean, this is several hundred dollars. So if you decide to get it fixed,
no, don't.
I wouldn't fix it.
Don't touch it.
Okay.
Don't touch it. I mean, if it gets to be so frequent that every single time you try to start the car, it does it,
mm-hmm.
then you really have to start thinking about it.
You'll know, Deborah,
yeah.
you will know when it's time to start thinking about it. It's like when Berman had that groat on his head.
That wasn't a groat. That was his head.
He knew when it was time. See you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, it's time for a few words from our local stations.
And what might those words be?
How about mid-season replacement? How's that sound?
That's what I was afraid of. We're going to be right back, maybe.
There's a key in my pocket. There's a road out my door. There's a rig in my driveway, much bigger than the one I had before. There's no Pepsi in the change hole for my quarters to get stuck. There's no French fries on the dashboard of my new truck.
And even though Marconi rolls over in his grave every time we say it, this is NPR.
This episode of Car Talk is supported by AT&T. With AT&T, the network is on demand, the office is mobile, and the cloud is designed for high security. Learn more at att.com/focus. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and I believe my brother has, like, mail to read. You have mail?
Right. This is a little note from Ken Stein from Berkeley, California, who says, "Bet you can't read The World According to Student Bloopers without laughing." And he was right, man. This is something put together by some guy named Richard Lederer. It says, "One of the fringe benefits of being an English or history teacher is receiving the occasional jewel of a student blooper in an essay. I've pasted together the following history of the world from genuine student bloopers collected by teachers throughout the United States from the 8th grade through college. Read carefully and you will learn a lot." I'll just pick out a few quick paragraphs.
Go ahead. I can't wait.
These are essays that students have written. The inhabitants of ancient Egypt were called mummies. They lived in the Sahara Desert and traveled by Camelot. The climate of the Sahara is such that the inhabitants have to live elsewhere. So certain areas of the desert are cultivated by irritation. The Egyptians built the pyramids in the shape of a huge triangular cube. The huge triangular cube. The pyramids are a range of mountains between France and Spain. Pharaoh forced the Hebrew slaves... I skipped a paragraph here. Pharaoh forced the Hebrew slaves to make bread without straw. Moses led them to the Red Sea, where they made unleavened bread, which is bread made without any ingredients. I can see it all now. You see why people don't want to teach anymore. Afterwards, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. David was a Hebrew king skilled at playing the lyre. He fought with the philatelists, a race of people who lived in biblical times. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 500 wives and 500 porcupines. 500 porcupines. Christ. I'll give you one more, the Renaissance. The Renaissance was an age in which more individuals felt the value of their human being. Martin Luther was nailed to the church door at Wittenberg for selling papal indulgences. He died a horrible death being excommunicated by a bull. It was the painter Donatello's interest in the female nude that made him the father of the Renaissance. It was an age of great inventions and discoveries. For example, Gutenberg invented the Bible. And Sir Walter Raleigh is a historical figure because he invented cigarettes. And this is two pages of this stuff put together by Richard Lederer. It is sad, isn't it? I mean, if you spent...
Well, it'd be particularly sad if those essays were written by college students.
If you spent your life trying to teach those little twerps something, and they came back and wrote you crap like this.
Well, not all of them,
I mean,
just a few.
Isn't this enough to hang yourself?
It is funny, though.
It's funny. I will read a paragraph every week.
Good.
Until they're gone.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Justin.
Justin.
Yes.
Where are you from, Justin?
Oh, right outside Washington, D.C.
There's actually
I'm not a lawyer.
Okay, let me just write down, not a lawyer.
Right, how about, not a politician.
Not a politician. Not a politician. Okay. Okay, what can we do for you, Justin?
Well, I'm recently in a change of life situation where I am now back in the dating scene.
Oh, getting hot flashes and stuff like
that? I was just going to ask. Well, now that he's in the dating scene, he probably is getting a few.
Yeah.
I've got a younger brother who's into marketing, and he drives a Corvette. He has told me I need to get rid of my car and get a chick magnet car.
Yeah.
I love the car I've got right now.
Chick is not the politically appropriate term.
Excuse me.
It's babes. Babes. Yeah. Babes is okay.
An opposite sex magnet car.
Yeah, well, babes is good.
Okay.
Chicks is degrading.
I have got, well, he called it that, not me. No.
Well, no, I mean, it was a private conversation,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes, between my brother and myself.
Well, for one thing, it gives away your age, so you have to be careful what terminology you use. Because we already know now that you're in your 40s.
No, sir. I may look like it, but I am not.
Oh, you're only in your 20s.
how about my teens?
Teens?
No. Mid-30s.
Chick magnet,
Mid-30s. Yeah, well, yeah, that's about right.
Chick.
So I've got a wonderful car right now. It's a Subaru Legacy wagon.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be great with that, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're all set. Tell him he doesn't know what he's talking about.
It
you have a roof rack?
It does have a roof rack. Absolutely. Well, that's where I can put the deer on the top.
How about four snow tires?
And you know what always works? You should throw a couple of children's seats in the back.
Yeah.
Well, I try to keep the back seat flat because I've got a big dog, and I throw him in the back with my camping gear.
Ah,
okay.
But it is obviously not the type of car that will attract what I'm supposedly looking to attract.
If you intend to keep the car, I'd suggest a monastery.
Okay.
Right.
I may become a believer at
that
point.
Yeah, I think I'd resign myself, too. Yeah.
Well, that's the issue. The car is very good, very dependable. It is four-wheel drive. Yeah. And in my profession, I sometimes have to pick up people to bring them into work when we have these nasty one-inch snowstorms in Washington.
Yeah.
And he suggested that I go out and buy a new car, primarily a Saab convertible.
Mm.
Now, I've owned Saabs in the past.
Yeah.
And I was the founding father of a group in the area called PISS, which stands for People Infuriated at Saab.
Yeah.
Other than that type of car, what would you all suggest?
Well,
given the fact that I'm a professional and I have to have some degree of decorum in my job and in my car choice.
What type of professional are you?
I'm in healthcare.
Healthcare.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a physician either.
You're not a physician. Okay. No. That explains the Subaru.
I'd be buying a Maserati Biturbo if I were a physician.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on the kind of woman you are attempting to attract. I mean, as you know, your brother, who is younger than you and knows something about marketing. I happen to know a little something about marketing. I mean, I don't want to brag or anything, but I happen to know a little something about marketing myself.
Okay.
And we're discussing here target marketing.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
What the world has learned is that you can't appeal to everybody, and in as many cases, you don't want to.
Right.
You've got to choose a specific kind of person that you want to appeal to, and then you must establish your positioning strategy.
Like,
well, let's not get into that yet. What kind of babes are you interested in, Justin? I mean, let's get right to the point.
Well, you know, I remember back in graduate school, find the need and fill it was one of the marketing axioms that we learned.
Yeah.
What am I looking for? And outdoors, athletic, and smart.
Outdoors, athletic,
and smart.
And smart.
Okay, an OAS.
Right.
I've got the vehicle.
Okay, what is it?
I have it.
And okay.
How old is the Subaru?
1990.
So that's worth about $3,000 on trade-in.
It's a legacy. It's all-wheel drive.
All right. $3,200.
Now, wait a second now. It has their extended warranty with it.
Nope. You can't be picky on the details. You want to pick up babes or not?
Well, I want to be able to afford
you quibble about a few thousand bucks?
Well, that's the point. If I can't afford to, what's the use in trying to?
No, here's what you got to buy.
Uh-huh.
You need to buy a Range Rover Discovery. Land Rover. I'm sorry. You need to buy a Land Rover Discovery.
Mm-hmm. Oh. But that's a bit more money than I'm interested in laying out at this
Justin.
Time. Justin.
Yes, Justin.
I know.
We're talking sex life here.
Oh, well, it's not like the dinosaurs. It's not extinct yet.
Right. You could just rent it on weekends.
I could rent my brother's Corvette for that matter.
No, that'll be aimed at the wrong target market.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So you're not going to get any.
Yeah, you'll get the gals with the teased hair.
Yeah,
no,
hairdressers.
Right,
the purple
passion lipstick.
Oh, right.
Sure.
Right.
Just take a look at the women that your brother goes out with.
I'd rather not. Don't tell his wife that.
Yeah. When you buy this Discovery, Justin,
uh-huh.
You know how some anti-theft devices are called a club?
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
When you get the Discovery, they give you the stick.
The stick.
You're going to have to
beat off the women who are going to be throwing themselves at you.
Is there a carrot at the end of the stick for me?
You won't need any carrot because that Discovery will be the carrot. See, this way it gets you the four-wheel drive. It gives you this immediate cachet of outdoorsman.
Got it.
And I would recommend when you drive around in this thing that you put on one of those hats with the ear flaps.
Oh, no, you know. An LL Bean special.
Yeah. Whenever my brother wears his, I mean, the women are all over him like a cheap suit.
They are.
But that doesn't fit my image.
It
really doesn't. I've got much more of a real outdoorsman image than
Answer the important question.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know how I allowed us to waste all this time asking the unimportant questions.
Okay.
Do you still have hair?
Absolutely. A full head of hair and a big old mustache.
You're all set. You're all set.
Yeah.
You'll have no trouble.
It's gray, but it's still there.
Oh, gray's good.
That can be taken care of.
That's true.
Yeah. As long as you have some, you can take care of the color.
I have a whole head of hair.
Keep us posted. Get rid of this lousy Subaru as soon as you can.
Okay.
Get yourself a Discovery and send us like weekly diary entries of your dates.
I absolutely will.
See you, Justin. Good luck.
Good luck.
Thank you very much for your help.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Kat.
Kat
with a C or K?
With a K.
All right.
Kat. Where are you from, Kat?
I'm from beautiful Austin, Texas.
Austin.
Well, Austin, Texas is kind of beautiful.
It's very beautiful. We all love it down here.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Okay. I have a 240 Volvo. It's 1986. It's got 170,000 miles on it.
Good.
I've had it for about 8 months, I guess. And when I accelerate, it makes this weird noise. If I'm cruising down the highway and I'm at a cruising speed, and I'll try to pass someone or something, and I'll accelerate, and it won't immediately speed up. It'll make this noise. It goes, and then it'll go. And that happens if I'm going on an incline or on a decline or if I'm going flat, it doesn't matter. And then, boom, it'll take off. And I want to know, one, what the heck is happening? My mechanic cannot find it.
Is that sound associated with any shaking?
No.
No.
It's just a temporary loss of power.
Sort of.
And then with the gas pedal in the same position,
it takes off.
By the way, I don't know why I'm going to ask this question. Do you work in a flower shop?
What?
No. No, I'm an environmental consultant.
Environmental consultant.
How about this? Do you use a cream rinse?
At least once a day. Sometimes twice.
No, I just had the feeling that you worked in a flower shop.
I do not.
Would you like to?
I think it would be lovely.
Why, you have some openings?
No. All right. Well, to get back to your Volvo, which...
Would you like to take another stab at making the sound?
Okay. It goes, something like that.
All right. Let's see. We got fuel.
And let's go back. This guy who has heard the sound, I presume.
He has not heard it. My mechanic has not heard it.
But he has driven the car at this speed.
He never did, no.
Well, what kind of a mechanic is he?
He's the kind of mechanic that every time I go for an oil change, I pay $400 because he finds something else.
Ah.
And then when I ask him questions, he yells at me.
Oh.
And he's kind of like the soup Nazi of Volvo mechanics. He's very good. But he's kind of mean.
Is his name Lars?
Yes. How did you know?
No, is it?
No, it's not.
You lied. Does he have the hots for you, Kat?
No, he does not.
How do you know?
I'm just sure.
you're just sure.
A woman knows.
Sometimes you just know.
You just know.
So that's actually part of my next question is, yeah. He also tells me no one should work on a Volvo except Volvo mechanics because they're so special. And is that true? Because I have this great Volkswagen mechanic, and I want to go back to him.
No, I would go to him. I mean, there's nothing special about an 86 Volvo.
Okay, I wanted to hear that.
So you'll be able to find someone else that will work on this thing satisfactorily and won't be so angry with you. I mean, you see, you're not insistent about his driving until he hears the noise because you're afraid you're going to get yelled at.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's no way to live.
He set it up like this so that he makes you feel like you're imposing on him.
No, this guy is a prima donna.
I know.
He's a prima donna. You got to dump him right away.
That's what I thought.
And when you dump him, just thank your lucky stars you're not married to him because somebody might be.
Somebody is.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, Mrs. Lars.
Helga.
She's not very nice either.
Helga and Lars.
Oh, you've met her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who's he married to? Frau Blücher?
You know these people intimately, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for calling. Oh.
Well, I mean,
You were stumped, aren't you?
Well, we were just going down the decision tree here of fuel, spark.
Yeah.
I like spark.
Well, I tend to like fuel.
I don't like either one of them, tell you the truth. Fuel or spark.
No.
Let's go with air. What's left? Water. Earth, air, fire, and water.
Yeah, what I like, the cat's not going to like. I mean, the answer I like.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Yeah. I don't even want to tell you.
Is it PS you're thinking of?
No, I'm thinking of the T word.
A new transmission?
No.
No, it has that feel.
It does, huh?
It does.
Jeez.
I mean, how many miles are on this car?
170,000 is what she reported recently.
170.
Recently, about 25 minutes ago when we first spoke to her.
Well, look, if you get into the retail flower business.
Which
my brother evidently sees in your future.
Oh, I very strongly.
This environmental planning stuff, forget it. It's not for you.
No. Clearly you're not making any money at it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be driving around this old jalopy. And it doesn't sound like you're having too much fun at it either.
And there's a lot of money in retail flowers.
I mean, think of how much fun you'd have doing floral arrangements.
I would love it. I would love it.
Flowers in your future.
See, that's nice.
Yeah. And you can get a nice little van that say Flowers by Cat.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, forget about this. This needs a transmission.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
And the good news is if you're in the flower business, when the Volvo dies, you'll be able to make a nice, what do they call
that? Flower arrangement out of it?
A nice funeral wreath. There you go.
Yeah. And don't go to a mechanic who refuses to do a test drive. You're absolutely right. I wouldn't even say goodbye to him. I would simply not show up again.
Okay.
And you can't go correcting everybody in the world who's a jerk because there are too many of us.
Right. See you later.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Oh, man.
Okay, Tommy, I guess we better take a break so that our stations can identify themselves.
Yeah, and dig out that 20-minute live version of Free Bird to cover up the rest of the show.
We'll be back in a minute.
Honey, don't you cry no more. Well, now, honey, don't you cry no more. This engine won't last running love that fast. Well, not with the pedal to the floor. Honey, it's a long, long road. I can't see what's coming round the bend. Old heart of mine, I'm broke down and lonesome.
And even though assistant producers in the news division get the smelling salts ready whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. We'd like to take time to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. At TireRack.com, you can view their test results, user ratings, and reviews to help you select the right tires for your car. TireRack.com has over a million tires in their warehouse, so you'll never get talked into compromise like I did when I came home with four bicycle tires on my 97 Honda Odyssey. At TireRack, when you find the right tires, they can be delivered to a local recommended installer in as little as one business day. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the Puzzler's vacation schedule.
Yeah, I mean, what's the story? Is he back yet?
Not quite. He's apparently been, shall we say, detained. The authorities,
detained?
You know.
Let me see. I'm looking up the word detained. Now, here it is. From the Latin, detinere, to hold back. Definition, number one, to be delayed. So the Puzzler has been delayed. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
No, not exactly, no.
Okay, definition number two, kept in custody or confinement.
There you go.
Uh-oh. Well, since the puzzle has been detained again, we stashed another archival puzzler on the website, cartalk.com.
There you go. If you find yourself in urgent need of a puzzler or a haircut, there's one waiting for you at cartalk.com. But in the meantime, what's next?
Well, in the meantime, I thought I'd share some sage advice with you.
Go ahead.
This is from Bruce Peterson from somewhere. This is good. I mean, we all need something in our lives to help give us, show us the way.
Yes, here food for thought. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Never criticize a man until you have walked a mile in his shoes. That way, when you do criticize him, you'll be a mile away, and you'll have his shoes.
Good, good.
I like it. See, I mean, you don't realize the deeper meaning. I mean, you've heard that expression, you have to walk a mile in his shoes.
Well, I must confess,
I never understood why.
I never understood it either until just now.
Until just now.
Amazing.
Amazing. You're going to be a mile away. He's not going to be able to punch you in the nose like he would want to do.
And he can't chase after you.
Because he's got no shoes.
All right. Well, speaking of sage advice, if you want something remotely resembling that, you can call someone else. But if you want to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Gil McCann, and I'm from Flint, Michigan.
Hey, Gil.
Hey, are you related to our sexual harassment director?
I don't think so.
Pat McCann, he works for us.
Well, I don't know. It might be in the genes. I'm not sure.
It might be. What's up, Gil?
Well, I've just acquired an 86 Astrovan. It's got a 4.3-liter V6 in it. And I did a tune-up on it. It had a shutter. What it has is when you it starts rather badly, and as you drive it and you come to a stop and it's in gear, it shutters. It kind of sits there and goes like...
Yeah,
and it does that the whole time you stopped?
Pretty much the whole time.
Unless it stalls.
Unless it stalls, and then it goes... Then it starts right up again. But...
Yeah.
But if you then put it back in drive after it stalled and you've restarted it, yep. Does it run smoothly then?
Not really.
Okay. How long have you had this thing?
I've had this about 2 weeks now.
Oh, okay. And so it was like this when you bought it?
Yeah. The lady I got it from said that it's been doing that since she owned it.
Which was 2 weeks before you got it.
Did you
save the for sale sign?
Yeah.
You just scratch out the number, man.
I'm dusting that off.
So when you say you did a tune-up, what did that consist of?
Okay,
you put six new plugs in it and an air filter.
Yeah, air filter plugs, distributor cap, and a rotor. The wires appear to be pretty well new. They look good, so... And I pulled off the carburetor, or not the carburetor, the injection carburetor.
The throttle body.
And it was filthy. I squirted it out with some cleaner, and I also put some gas cleaner in the fuel.
Yeah. How long ago did you put the gas cleaner in the fuel? What, a week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About a half a tank of gas is what I run.
Half a tank worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it would be a miracle if gas additive fixed this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is serious.
If you're really lucky, Gil, you have a vacuum leak.
Okay.
Which could account for just about everything you described. And the stalling and the dead spot and the live spot. and sunspots and everything.
Mm.
And so if you're lucky, you have that. And the only way you're going to find that is to get something like a soda straw or a piece of hose, rubber hose, like vacuum hose,
right,
and stick one end in your ear and just probe around. And you may find a spot where you hear a hissing or a sucking noise.
Get a listen, okay.
Now, one of the things you can also do is, while the engine's running, cover up that throttle body.
Yeah, that way you won't find out where the leak is, but you'll find out if you have a leak. That should be the first step.
So that as you choke off the air that's being sucked in through the throttle body, it will compensate for the air that's leaking in someplace else, maybe. And you may notice the things start to run very smoothly.
Okay, so if I sort of choke that off and it picks up speed and runs smoothly, I've got a vacuum.
Yeah, in which case you'll have to drive with your hands on the throttle body.
which will come in handy in the winter.
Which you can actually do in that vehicle.
Right.
Because the engine's next to you.
Assuming you don't have a cell phone.
Right.
So you can try that. The other possibility is that there's bad compression. I didn't want to ask you.
Don't mention that.
How many miles are on this thing?
Oh, I'd say probably about 117,000.
Yeah. I mean, in order, I guess the things that could be wrong in order of thank God-ness would be the vacuum leak, because the cost to fix that might be almost zero.
Mm-hmm.
And you would find that out by choking off the throttle body.
Great.
If you can't find an obvious vacuum leak and covering up the throttle body doesn't yield some results, then the next step is to do a bona fide compression test.
Okay.
You're going to have to bite the bullet and do it. I mean, when you find out you've got 43 pounds in number six cylinder, then you'll know without a doubt.
Yeah, that's it.
That
and
you put the
sign
back.
At least you'll stop looking for other things. You'll start looking for another vehicle.
Would I be able to have that detected, say, if I took it in and had it put on a computer?
No.
Yeah, well, maybe, yeah. I mean, scanning the engine's not going to help, but they can still, those guys have compression testers, too.
Okay.
And they can figure out what's
and
wrong
And you
with
could
it.
Do this yourself, and it would require that you buy a new tool that you probably don't currently have.
Uh-huh. Well, I had one until I loaned it out.
Ah, well, it's time to buy another one.
Yes, it is.
Good luck, Gil.
I appreciate that.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gail from South Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Gail from where?
South Philadelphia.
South of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, not South Philadelphia, but south of.
Well, no, South Philadelphia. Which one is Click and which one's Quack?
Yes. So what can we do for you?
The guy on the right is Click.
Oh, okay, I thought so. Okay, I have a little problem here in Philadelphia. I feel like I'm sort of a fugitive of sorts here. My friends Jonathan and David told me to call you and that you might be able to help. Okay, I drive a teal, 1991 Saturn, which you'll need to know later, okay?
1991 Saturn.
Yes. And, okay, I take a bridge to work every day, and they charge $2 to get across this bridge. Okay, that's a little pricey, but I have to take it. So I have my $2 ready, and I'm waiting in a tow line that's 15 cars long or something. And at the last minute, I realize that I'm in a coins-only lane, and there's no way to get across the traffic.
And you start shredding the dollars, right?
Exactly. I had no choice of what to do. With this short notice, I had no way of pulling this kind of cash together, so I realized that it was also a toll lane where one of those arm things comes down, so it's not like I can just go through it.
Ah, so you're going to have to run the rapids, as they say.
Exactly.
Shoot the rapids.
Exactly.
When the guy in front of you, the other guy's green light.
Yeah.
So I waited until the guy in front of me threw in his, 300 quarters or whatever, and when that arm thing went up, I floored it. I went through it. Buzzers went off. There was mayhem everywhere.
Did you make it?
No one followed me, though.
You made it under, though.
I was very lucky. I don't know how I did it, but I made it under.
Well, you've obviously discovered one of the best kept secrets in the world. Who was there to chase you?
Nobody.
Nobody. No, of course not.
My question is, do they take a picture of my license plate? Is there some way that I could, send the $2 in? Because I don't want them to send something to my house because my husband's going to be so mad.
So you have a guilty conscience about this.
I really do, but I don't want to get caught in the I'm honest, and then they're going to charge me $40 for doing this.
Right,
you know?
You may in fact be opening a Pandora's box by confessing to the crime.
Exactly.
You may be subjecting yourself to a toll evader's fine.
Right.
So they'll take the $2 from you, and then they'll come to your house and arrest you. Here's what I would do.
Okay.
I would let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if you really feel some compunction to pay up, if the toll is $2, the next time you get in line, and for the next eight times you get in line, throw nine quarters in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
It will never penalize you. It'll never not send the gate up. It'll figure you're another stoop that just put in too much money.
Right.
The gate will go up, and within 2 months you will have satisfied your conscience. You'll have satisfied the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Well, will they come get me? Is there any way they can get my address for my license?
See, what bridge is it? We can find out.
It's called the Betsy Ross Bridge.
Oh,
it's 95 in Pennsylvania, where it recently burned down right by us. That's why I had to take that bridge.
Okay. Well, we are trying to reach the Pennsylvania Transportation Authority.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
Was it Delaware?
Oh, no, Pennsylvania. Oh. Coming from New Jersey into Pennsylvania.
Into Pennsylvania. So the bridge is actually in Pennsylvania.
From New Jersey to Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. No, it's in New Jersey.
It's a bridge over between the two states.
Oh, so both states
River.
Will be after you.
Oh, it's the federal government then. It's a federal job.
It's a federal offense.
So I don't know.
Okay, it seems to be run by the Delaware Port Authority.
Okay.
I don't know why.
The Delaware, because it's over the Delaware River, maybe.
We have him on the phone? You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God.
You're not
going to
believe
me?
This.
Hold on a minute. We're not giving him your name.
Okay.
Evidently, Doug and Ken have just somehow gotten a hold of who? Dawn, somebody who's the bridge manager.
Hello, Dawn.
Hello, Gail.
Oh, this is cruel.
Oh, my goodness. I really was ready to pay the $2, and I didn't
Yeah, sure.
Change.
Gail, we chased you for 4 miles. Stop.
No, wait a minute. Dawn, who are you really, Dawn?
I'm the bridge manager at the Betsy Ross Bridge.
You really are?
I really am. And
oh,
if we don't get this $2 fast, we might have to close this bridge up.
Oh, my God.
No, but for other people who might want to try what Gail did, do you take pictures?
We do surveillance of the toll plaza. Do we take specific pictures? I am not at liberty to tell you.
Not at liberty to tell us. But
that's right.
But the truth is that you could probably get through.
If that gate came down on Gail's car, Lord knows the destruction would have caused.
Oh, no,
actually, the gates are made of a breakaway wood. We wouldn't want to damage anyone's car.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not encourage anyone to try to do that. We do patrol our plaza with our own police force, and we do pursue toll evaders. And just for your information, the toll evasion fine is not $40, but more like $200.
Oh, Gail, you're going to the slammer.
Now,
oh,
look,
my gosh.
I don't think Gail wants to get herself in trouble.
No.
So,
no, and Gail probably doesn't want Dawn to know even her last name. Or
no, of course not.
Right?
But look, how about this, Dawn? If Gail sends the money to us and we send it to you anonymously in the name of Gail, Gail Anonymous, then she'll be off the hook, right? And you won't know who she is and she will not incriminate herself. Is that okay with you?
That sounds good to me, but Gail is not on my good side to begin with for calling my bridge toll a little pricey.
No! I mean, that's a lot.
How long a bridge is it, Dawn? How long is this bridge?
New York bridges, $7 a shot.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
This bridge is how long is it, Dawn? I mean, it's three.
Are there any trolls underneath the bridge?
It's a mile and 3/4 over the river. But if you don't use it, Gail, how are you going to get back into Pennsylvania?
I don't know.
Maybe she doesn't want it.
Why do you have to have a coins-only lane?
Well, we do have some to service patrons who have a commutation sticker on their window.
I don't think they're marked very well, Dawn, because I didn't see it until the last minute.
Well, kind of feisty for a lawbreaker, isn't she?
Yeah. I mean, hey, Gail.
Yes.
Cool it up. I got to give me a name.
And by the way, Gail, there is no statute of limitations on this. We can find you.
Hey, Dawn, thanks a lot for letting us find you. I don't know how we found you, but it's good to know.
You're welcome. I'm looking forward for that $2 to arrive in the mail.
All right, you will get it. Don't worry.
Oh, definitely.
And if you don't get it, chase us for it, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you, Gail.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, wait a minute.
Okay.
Make sure you send us the money.
Yeah, you don't think we're going to pay this $2, do you? And in fact, you might want to send in extra in case, there's a penalty or anything.
An extra $200.
Yeah. Postage and handling and all that. It might be like $22.50.
Yeah. And you might want to include a little something to make sure we don't divulge your last name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Baked goods are always good.
See you, Gail.
Hey, Gail, you're a good sport. You were a little feisty with the guy, though.
Well, he was being mean.
mean?
Well, I think $2 is actually pretty reasonable for a bridge. I mean, bridges are hard to build.
Yeah,
how do they build bridges? You have land on one side, land on the other side, and water in the middle.
Batman, you know the thing he shoots across? Zoop.
Oh, that's right. So I guess $2 isn't bad, but
it's not bad
because the alternative is to be in New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, let's not forget that.
Pennsylvania. So
there you go. So
okay.
Thanks for calling,
Gail. Thanks a lot.
And carry some quarters, will you?
I will.
Bye.
Bye.
That was good.
How did you do that, Ken?
How did you find him? Very good. That's very good. Boy, we have a crack staff.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And I will admit that I was quite impressed by that the alacrity with which that whole process ensued. I mean, we got the call from Gail right away. Ken must have evaded the toll on this bridge once himself. He knew exactly
what
it was.
Don Piccolo by his first name right away.
Well, anyway, you've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Valley Stream, Heavy Cream, Battered Bream, Pork Supreme, Light Soy Dream, and Latte Steam Diet Scheme, is John Bugsy Lawler. A busy guy. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our scout leader is Lawson DeWoods. Our retractable antenna tester is Benton Broke. The chairman of our Southern Literature Department is Amos Reed. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the scholars in black socks and flip-flops in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1534, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com, where you can also keep up on actual car news. Now, Car Talk's posse of bloggers posts automotive stories you might have missed, with Car Talk's take on them, of course. For instance, here's a story about the auto industry's increased use of aluminum. Car Talk's take is that GM should stop recalling cars and just urge owners to crush them against their foreheads. Get all of your automotive news from Car Talk's Facebook page or at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though baby boomers say, you know, a little age-related hearing loss might not be such a bad thing whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.